So if you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 20. Awesome. A couple of weeks ago, we began a new series called God's Top 10. God calls it, not the top 10, but God calls it the 10 commandments. The Ten Commandments. And the theme of the Ten Commandments is not a list of don'ts, of God's don'ts, but a list of principles that you and I, we can apply in our life so that we can develop a stronger relationship with God. So the whole Ten Commandments is about relationship. Is about relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with one another. So today we're going to pick up the third commandment. And that's in Exodus chapter 20 verse 7. And we'll get right into it. It says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. How many of you have heard that before? That's a pretty common one. We've heard this in church. We've heard this outside of the church. And then at the end it says, for God, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. The Hebrew word for vain here is to misuse, to profanely use, to blaspheme, to mistreat, to misrepresent, to use in a morally disrespectful way. That's a big one, huh? That's a big one right there. The New Living Translation gives this to us in a much more contemporary version. The New Living Translation says this, you must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember, both of them are talking about the name of the Lord your God. That's ownership there. It's talking back to the relationship that you and him have. Amen. There are others that don't have that relationship. But here, this commandment is referring to us, to believers, to the church. And he's saying, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Why is God so insistent? Insistent about not misusing his name. Why is he so insistent about it? I mean, just, I'll give you a fair warning right off the bat, okay? Because we're going to hit this pretty hard. And I kind of don't want you to flinch. I don't want you to flinch. Because the best way to approach this is to hit it head on. Head on. The answer to this question as to why is God so insistent about us not misusing his name is this word, reverence. Reverence. The word reverence from the Bible means bowing down in awe and in honor. Bowing down in awe and in honor. And just to keep this in context of what we're reading right now, the culture of the time where people were taking the children of Israel into Canaan, the culture of the people was this. They will use the names of their gods in many ways, but mostly in incantation. What I mean by that, they would repeat the names of their gods repeatedly in incantation so that they can get the gods, little g there, to do what they want the gods to do. And God is saying right there, you will not do it that same way. You will not do it the same way that the culture of these people are dictating. You're going to do it my way. Don't use my name in vain. God is saying here in our relationship, in the way that you and I, we interact, I want you to approach me in a reverent way. I want you to use reverence in the way that you approach me. Now, this type of reverence in our relationship with God is something that is timeless. Because you might be here thinking, oh, this is old stuff. This type of reverence is timeless. It was relevant then, and it is also relevant now. Nothing has changed. God commands it, and God expects it. It's a commandment, and it's also an expectation. I believe culturally, we have taken a rather casual approach to our relationship with God. We've taken that relationship in such a casual way. Pardon my French. We have taken this in a way that is cavalier. I've said it in a French pronunciation here. Or debonair. You guys are familiar with those two words, right? This means that you've taken this relationship in this way that is so casual that you would rather know God as a buddy rather than Yahweh. You would rather know God as a buddy rather than Yahweh, the Creator. You would rather know God as a homeboy rather than Adonai, Lord and Master. We would rather see God as the man upstairs rather than El Elyon, the Most High. Because of this debonair approach, we have lost the reverence for who God truly is. For example, many would feel comfortable adding the D word. I told you I'm going to hit it really hard this morning. Many will feel very comfortable adding the D word after God. By the way, the D word is not God's last name. Maybe we've used this so fluently over the years that we've made it part of his name. Or we use his name as a punctuation in a text. OMG. Told you I'm going to hit it hard a little bit this morning. But I really want you to think about it. I want you to think about what's behind what God is truly saying to us, to the church. It is not something that is so old that it became obsolete over the years. It is something that is very relevant to us. And I believe God is speaking to this body, to the body of Christ. And God wants us to pay attention to it. Or we will call out his name in anger. When we do something and we call out his name just because. We hit our thumb with a hammer and his name comes out. And you wonder, why don't we call out somebody else's name? Why don't we call out Buddha? Anybody done that before? Why don't we call out Hare Krishna or Shiva or Allah or whatever have you? Why don't we do that? Why do we call out the name of our God, the El Shaddai, the El Elyon, the Adonai, the Yahweh? Why do we choose the name of God instead of something else? Truly, it's beyond just the words that we use. It's something deeper inside that is pushing us to say this. And we do it without even thinking twice. We do it without even thinking twice about the consequences of doing that. Using God's name in vain. Speaking of consequences, I need you to catch that second part of that verse. It says, the Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. That's a consequence, right? The way that I read it in the English language, that means it's a consequence for doing the other thing. The question still remains, why is God so insistent about misusing his name? Why is he so insistent about us not to misuse his name? I've got three reasons for you this morning. And you may jot it down. The first one is, his name and him are one. His name and him are one. Have you heard the saying, maybe here in this community of Kodiak, very small community, that this guy has a bad name. This guy has a bad name in the community. You know they're not referring to this guy's last name or this guy's name on his birth certificate. They're not referring to that. They're referring to the reputation of the name of that person. They're referring to the character of the person. When you think of your name, what do you think people think about your name? That is the reputation. That is the character. The same goes with God. Behind his name is who he is. It defines his character. It defines his attributes. It defines himself. Everything about God is behind his name. So in the third commandment, God is saying, If you misusing my name, you're misusing me. You're misusing my character. You're misusing my reputation. You're misusing my deity. My name and I are one. My name and I are one. When Moses ask God the question, who are you? What is your name? God replied, I am. I am that I am, right? I am that I am. I am today. I was and I will always be. That's what it means. I never change. I am that I am. Now, why was God so interested about knowing God's name? Why was Moses so interested about knowing that? Remember the assignment, right? The assignment was to go back to Egypt and address Pharaoh. That was the assignment, was to go back to Egypt, address Pharaoh to release God's people. Now, in the Egyptian culture, they had a lot of gods, not as many as Hinduism, but they had a lot of gods. And each one of them had a name. They had a name, they had a purpose, they had a mission for each god. And Moses did not want to go back without knowing the name of his god. He will lose face with Pharaoh if he approaches Pharaoh and said, oh, met this burning bush. And, got to let the people go. And I got a plan, and this is how it's going to work. No, he went and approached Pharaoh, and he says, Yahweh, I am, is calling me. Not just me, but my people. And you need to let my people go. So Pharaoh responded. I don't know if you're watching the movie. By the way, Richard, if you're watching, I'm watching the Ten Commandments. Me and Mike, I didn't realize that my kids would love it. They do. While they were gone, Micah wanted me to put the Ten Commandments on. I'm like, buddy, that's like a long movie. We're not going to sit there and watch this for that long. Let's wait until everybody gets back. We're watching in sections. So, you know, we're taking our time on it. Richard, we're digesting this. We are savoring every part of this movie. It's an amazing movie. I didn't realize I would love it that much. It's really good. Very well made. Very, Broadway style. I love Broadway and the way they portray certain things. Very Broadway style. So I'm really getting into it. So Moses told Pharaoh the name of God. I am Yahweh, the one who brings into existence everything that exists. That's kind of like the way that he said it. And of course, Pharaoh responded, I don't know the name of that God. Bald dude that, you know, I think his name is Yul Brynner. I don't know if anybody knows that, but I was paying attention to some of the names. And anyway, he did very well in that movie. And I don't know the name of that God. I don't know his name. What Pharaoh did was not to surrender to the wishes of Moses. He was not surrendering to the wishes of Moses. He was not surrendering to the name of God. I would not surrender to this God because I don't know him. I don't know his name. I don't know I am. I will not surrender to your God. Do you know how we surrender to God? How we surrender to God, the Lord Jesus, our God. We call on his name. We call on his name. Nothing else. We don't call on Jesus. We call on the name of Jesus. By calling on the name of Jesus, we're calling on Jesus. Because his name and who he is, they're the same. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Save. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name and him are one. So God does not want us to misuse his name, because the salvation of the world, or lost world, is at stake. How dare we use his name in vain when the lost world is at stake? That is why God is so insistent about us not using his name in vain. I've died for this world. I've given them my name, the only name by which they might be saved. Salvation is at stake. That's why God is so insistent about us not using his name in vain. Now you might be thinking, well, the third commandment is only about speech, right? It's only about the way that you talk. What if I decided not to use his name in my speech? Well, you would be wrong. Because it goes beyond just the words that comes out of your mouth. The third commandment is not just about a speech. And that leads me to my second point. His name is to be, listen to this, carried. His name is to be carried. In Exodus 20, in that commandment, it says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The word take here means to lift up and to carry. That's what you do when you go to the grocery store. When you go at Safeway, when Angelo packs up your bag and you get ready, guess what you do? Which, by the way, Angelo, that's number three for today, buddy. You got it? Yeah, because we go over our messages when I'm at Safeway. I'll see him and we'll go over what Pastor talked about and all of that. So this Sunday, a couple of days ago, was about number three. So I say, do you know number three? And we talked about this for a little bit. I was like, well, just wait for Sunday. We'll talk about this. You lift up your bag of grocery and you carry that away. The word take here is talking about you lifting up God's name and carrying it wherever you go. What God is saying here is very straightforward. Don't profanely carry my name wherever you go. Don't profanely carry my name wherever you go. Around 545 BC, the children of Israel went to exile, right? They went to exile because they profaned the name of the Lord. That was the reason behind it. They profaned the name of the Lord. Now, they did not profane the name of the Lord orally with their mouths. They profaned the name of the Lord in their hearts. They profaned the name of the Lord in their hearts with the way they lived their lives, with the way they conduct themselves. Just in context here, in Ezekiel chapter 36, it gives us this account. It gives us this account on how they profane the name of God wherever they went. In Ezekiel 36 verse 20 and the other passage, the other verses, there also gives us a much deeper account. But for the sake of time, we're just going to look at one. When they came to the nations, when they were taken away in exile, wherever they went, I need you to catch this. Wherever they went, they profane my holy name. Now, this is God speaking. God is saying, wherever they went, they profane my holy name. The word profane means to treat as common. To treat as common. The same root word where we get the word profanity. Use profanity. So they profane God's name by the way they conducted themselves. See, profanity doesn't just apply in your speech, by the words that are coming out of your mouths. Profanity also comes in the way that you behave, your action, even your interactions with people. In other words, the children of Israel carried the name of God. How do we say this? They carried the name of God as a label. They carried the name of God as a label, but they profaned his name in their hearts. They carried the label of children of God. They carried the label, belong to God. But in their hearts, they were far and far away from God. That is, in essence, how they were led into captivity. Because they profane God in the way that they behave. If you study a little bit of history, biblical history, you'll find out that they stopped using the name of God after this. Because they were scared. What if we open our mouths and we say something that is bad? They actually took it literally. They would not speak the name of God at all. They were refrained from speaking the word in their hearts. But really the problem was not in the way that they speak. The problem was much deeper than this. The problem was here. I believe this is where Jesus said this. In context to this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Because the problem here was not so much of what they were saying. It was really in what they were not saying. Because it was deep rooted in their lifestyle, in the way that they live their life. Could that be a reflection on today's society these days? If you think about it for a minute, could that be a reflection of us even as the church, God forbid? Could that be us today, that we've gone so desensitized to the relationship with God, that we've taken him, like I said, so casually? Like I said, we want to know God as a buddy. We want to know God as a homeboy. But we don't want to know God for truly who he is. We carry the name, but we don't display the lifestyle. We carry the name, but we don't display the lifestyle. The best way that I can describe this to you, I was actually thinking about this. What's the best way to actually put this in some sort of illustration? You carry the name of God, but you choose to give your love to someone or something else. By the way, this is kind of like how they all tie in together. The first commandment, the second commandment, the third commandment. And as we keep going, you're going to see that they're all interconnected. They're all dealing with relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with other people. I thought about this illustration. And I've got to be... To be honest with you, I've got to be careful on how I even say it. Because I don't want to be, I don't want it to come in a way that points a finger. Nobody likes that, right? When a woman marries a man, she would take on the name of a husband, right? She would take on her husband's name. When Don's maiden name is Ball. So when we were in college, her name was Don Renee Ball. Like basketball. In fact, over the phone, when she would talk, she would actually, Ball, Don Ball, B-A-L-L, like basketball. That's the way she would actually say it over the phone. And when we got married, I mean, while we were dating, so I can't wait to actually get my name changed. I hope still the case right now, right? You're still happy. We just last week, while she was gone, was our 21st wedding anniversary. So I'll take it this time. I'll take it that, you know, she still loves that name. Panthen. Has a nice ring to it. Panther. So, when a woman marries a man, she would take on her husband's name. Suppose for a minute, after she receives a new married name, moves in with another man. Terrible, huh? Now, even though she's moved in with another man, she still carries that married name. With quote unquote, quote, the legal rights and the privileges of that name, a married name. But she has chosen to give her love to someone else. From this illustration that I've spend a little time developing, being very PC. I don't know if you can even say this in church. I'm not very PC. But what's the better word to say this? Being a little bit conscious about, you know, people and everything else to say it right. We could say from this illustration that this woman is taking her married name in what? In vain. You catching on? You're good. You're catching on. We could say that this married woman is taking a married name in vain. Not because of anything that she said. She might be very silent. But it is with her actions by what she did. It would be taking God's or her husband's name in vain. So let's pause here because you're a good crowd and you're catching on very quickly. So it gives me a little time to catch my breath. And maybe even ask you a question. According to the word of God, who is the bride of Christ? You didn't know I was going to go there. According to the word of God, who is the bride of Christ? The church. Who's the church? We are. We're looking at the church right now. It's you. It's me. What if we carry His name as the bride of Christ, aka Christians, but choose to give our love and affection to someone or something else? Would you agree with me that it would be like us misusing His name? It would be like us using His name that we are tied in by covenant. We are tied in by covenant with His name, but we've made a choice by our lifestyle, by the choice that we've made in order to give that first love to someone or something else. I would say, we misusing His name. Not so much in the words that we're saying, but by our lifestyle in choosing to put God somewhere else other than first. And God cannot settle for second place. That would be misusing His name. Now you might think, okay, this is just Old Testament stuff. This is just the old stuff from the past. We're talking about the law, and the law was written on stones and was handed down to this dude by the name of Moses, who probably was crazy, came down this mountain and got angry at some point in time and smashed it into pieces, and God had to redo. He was the same dude that came back in the Old Testament and got angry and took his staff and hit this rock. And he was the same dude that actually did not even get to go where these children that we're actually talking about right now got into that promised land. We can easily discredit the whole thing. But I want you to listen to what the New Testament says about it. In Romans 2:24, it says this: for the name of the Lord is blasphemed among the Gentiles. We're talking about unbelievers. Here's that second part. Because of you. The name of the Lord is blasphemed among the Gentiles, unbelievers, because of you. Pretty strong language here. Pretty strong. But this is the New Testament, the covenant of grace. Sometimes we think that the grace is just the big cover up for us not doing what God is requiring us to do. But it goes beyond. The grace of God in this way helps us to obey God. Because in our own strength, in our own ability, we cannot do it. Yes, When we read this, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. The word blaspheme means reject. Reject. It's saying unbelievers would reject the name of God because of the way we carry. Because of the way we carry his name through our actions. By the way that we pick up his name and we live our lives. By the way that we try to skirt around things just to get our way. By the way that we use words to confuse a situation so that we can get around God's way. We are very good in the church to do this. What we really should be asking ourselves is, am I a good representation of Christ? Am I a good representation of Christ as a pastor? Listen to this. Not when I'm here behind the pulpit, when I'm at home, when nobody sees me. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. It's not the label that we carry every Sunday. And we come here and we sit down, raise a hallelujah. The label, it might be here. But what is going on in the dark? What is going on at home? What is going on in private that nobody else sees but him? Or have we gone so casual in our relationship with him that we've pushed this buddy, this homeboy, this man upstairs into a place where, you know what? As long as we keep him happy there, we good. I told you it's going to be a hard one this morning. How do we behave? How do we represent Christ in the workplace? How do we represent Christ in the community? This is what this third commandment is talking about. But over the years, perhaps, all we've talked about when we said, do not use God's name in vain, we've only focused in our speech. We've never focused really on the heart. 545 BC, the children of Israel went to exile, not because of what they said, because of what they had in their hearts that nobody saw but him. 1 Peter 2:12 says this, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. You all got neighbors, right? Nobody's some kind of island way out, no neighbors whatsoever. We all got neighbors. You live with people, and people are watching. Maybe you never thought about it this way, but people are watching. The whole community is watching. We got something these days called social media. People are very comfortable these days to shoot out something. Because there's that desensitization of the real world. The real world is you and me. People. Interaction. So a lot of time we got to be very careful. The filter of the Holy Spirit needs to be there. Because you represent Christ. That is the most important thing. We think people are not watching. When they see this, What is the representation of what the unbeliever will have over this Christian? What is the representation? What is the image? Is that person who is an unbelieving neighbor, is that message going to glorify Christ? Is that message is going to be a message within a message that's going to point to the true one God, the one whose name that cannot be used in vain? Even in a post that if it has the word Jesus in it, doesn't make it godly. There could be a whole lot of profanity going on. Remember, profanity comes from that same word, profane, right? Which means to misuse. It might not have a single cuss word in it, but the intent behind it might be profaning the very true character or nature of God. I want you to think about this for a moment. What is that image that we put out there that somebody else is going to see? Is that message going to glorify Christ or not? Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. The other part is, then, if they accuse you of doing wrong. Once in a while, we do get accused of doing something wrong. Even if they do, they will see your honorable behavior. That's an important thing right there. Even if they do accuse you of being a bigot, even if they accuse you of being, it's one of these Oceans United churchgoers, you know the way they are, they're Pentecostal people, they act weird, they are weird, they look weird, the pastor's funny, he talks funny, he looks funny, he wears ripped clothes, he's terrible. The name of Jesus is more important in the image that you portray than anything else. So what is behind the message is what truly this word is talking about. Even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior. And listen to this part. They will give honor to God when He judges the world. That is the purpose. The purpose is when they see you, they don't just see you, they see Jesus. It goes beyond the words. It goes with your actions. One of the greatest ways you can profane the name of God is when you call yourself Christ-like, but you don't live like Christ. That is the greatest profanity is what the third commandment is talking about, is when you do that. My third point is this, and that's my last one. So Jesse, I might need to do some pump up music, because I need to end this on a high there.
Like, man, it's Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, by the way. It starts at home, guys. Amen. And I'm talking to fathers. We need to rise up and stand for what is right. Amen. There are certain things that we cannot have in our house. We cannot have in the home. We have to draw a line. I want you to realize this. The next generation is at stake. Is the way that you're carrying yourself a good representation for your son? Think about it for a moment. Is the way that I behave, not here, I'm a good guy here. Everybody would agree, but maybe not. He's not. But how is the way that I behave at home? I believe that would speak louder to my kids, my sons, and my daughter, rather than the way that daddy acts when he's a pastor on Sunday morning. That is the greater message, right? So, fathers, I challenge you to rise up, to do what is right, to train and teach your kids the right way, God's way. Because when they grow up, they will not depart from that promise that God has given to you and me. They will not depart from this word at some point in their lives. Even if they stray, they will remember. They will remember what daddy said. They would remember the conversations at home. They would remember what happened behind closed doors when nobody else was around. What did daddy do? Why is God so insistent about not misusing his name? Point number three is, his name is not a convenient word. His name is not a convenient word. I went to a car dealership once, and the salesperson there had a few choice words about God until he found out I was a pastor. Have you had that experience before? They had a few choice words about different things until they knew the guy knew that I was a pastor. Oh, hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Let me tell you what I studied in my devotion this morning. That is using God's name for convenience. He wanted to make a sale, right? It was convenient to use a hallelujah. It was convenient to use Jesus. It was convenient to say, let me tell you what I studied this morning. That is using God's name in vain. Let me throw in a few Jesus in there to make it good. I find this alarming. I said I'm coming down hard this morning. I find this very alarming when I hear this. I feel God is telling me to do this. Or God told me to do this and that. But then when you step back and you analyze the conversation, the words that is what God said, and you try to line those words up with the character of God, his attributes, the way that he is, the way that God conducts business. And you could say, this is not heaven's language. This is not the way that God speaks. You can't just go and turn to the Bible and say, well, I can't find what you just said in there. But if you know God, you know the way that he acts. You know the way that he behaves. You know all about him. You know just like your father. You know the way that Jesus might be feeling if I acted that way. Just by throwing a few in Jesus' name at the end does not make it legit. That just by throwing a hallelujah in there doesn't make it God's word. When you know the character of your God, you know what God says. God will not say, I don't know, quit your job. Quit your job. Stop. Climb up on a mountain and worship me. Forget all your responsibilities, but I want you to be in solitude. Stop everything and go. Now that might sound very Jesus Christian-like. What if I came to my wife and said, honey, we've been together for 21 years. And last week I held the house down. Me and Micah. Well, let's pretend it was not easy, because it was easy. This kid is amazing. Easy. But pretend she comes back home yesterday. She had a tough day. I mean, the whole week pouring into these kids' lives. She lost her voice. She's coming back home. No sleep and everything else. Same for Kyler. And I said, honey, I did pretty good. This awesome. This. Guess what? I need a break. I just need a break. God told me last night that I need to go and climb this mountain, which I don't, by the way. But supposedly God told me to climb this mountain, go on a hike, and I want you to stay there the whole month. In Jesus' name. That would be me using God's name in vain. I know I'm trying to lighten the mood a little bit, because I think I pounded a little bit hard this morning. That would be using God's name in convenience to justify my actions. Jesus tells us in the last days, many people will use his name as a convenient word. Listen to how Jesus says it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. It's quite a sobering passage. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. See, God is looking for more than just lip service. He's looking for you and me to do his will. That is what God is looking for. We cannot just say, you know what, I have no idea. I don't know what God wants me to do. I'm telling you what God wants you to do. His will. His will. He wants you to do his will by surrendering to him. By making him Lord of your life, truly Lord. A Lord is someone who is in charge, fully in charge of your life. What he says goes. That is the way that it is in the kingdom of God. We cannot understand the principle of God with a democratic mindset. This is what we've been doing all along in the kingdom of God, in the church. We've been trying to barter, to negotiate with God. Can we vote this in, God? Can I get an amen on that one? Can I get a hallelujah on that one? Can we, Lord, can I negotiate with you on this issue? On this subject. But I want to do your will. When you say, God, let not my will but yours be done, that's you surrendering to him. You saying you are the king. That's where the word kingdom comes from, because there's a king that sits above this kingdom. Now Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the King. He who does the will of the King. In verse 22, he says, for many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demon in your name? Done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. You practice lawlessness. You who practice anything else besides the law.
I know. This is not the peppy message that you're probably expecting on this rainy Sunday morning for Father's Day. That's why Jesse is up here to lighten the mood a little bit. If we go back to Exodus 20, verse 7, making a full circle here and going back to it, it says, you must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Can I make a confession right there? I've been guilty of this. I've been guilty of this third commandment multiple times, in the way that I just described this, in this entirety. Not just with my words, but right here. As a matter of fact, I've broken a few others. And the penalty here is very clear. And maybe that's you here this morning. You say, Pastor, me too. I've done it. But I'm here to tell you that, hey, you know what? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm here to help you out this morning. And I believe this will set you free. When you read the Word of God, you got to read the Word in its entirety. That's where you get the message. Because if you take Exodus 27 separately and you don't read it in this entirety, the full scope, you will miss the heart of God. All you would see is condemnation, because the word here is very clear. The penalty is very clear. The penalty was paid by God's Son. The penalty that we talk about in this Old Testament verse here was paid by God's Son. When you repent and you turn from your old ways, grace and mercy is made available to you. In Romans 3:23 through 26, it gives us this amazing passage. And I pray right now that you see, that you hear the heart of God through this. He says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus. And here's this. When he freed us from the penalty, here's that word, from the penalty of our sins. Verse 25, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being what? Fair. When he held back and did not what? Punish. Did not punish those who sin in times past. I'm here to tell you what is in the past is behind you. Today you got the cross before you. Today you got the cross which symbolized the penalty that he paid for you. The sacrifice that he made for you. So that you don't have to pay it. He paid the price. He took the punishment so that you will not be punished. He says God did this to demonstrate his righteousness. For he himself is fair and just. He makes the sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Here's the final word. We are made right in his sight when we believe in Jesus. Would you please stand? This could be your memory verse. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness. He himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believed in Jesus. My question is, would you believe? Would you believe in Jesus? Would you turn away from your past and say, Jesus, I'm drawing a line right here. I'm drawing a line. I'm putting and leaving the past behind me. And I'm moving forward because the cross is before me. The whole world, I'm leaving it behind me. All I see is your grace, your mercy. Let your grace fall upon this body right now. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word that is sharpening us, that is changing us, that is coming in like a wave, like a tidal wave, coming in and taking over in places of our lives that were hidden, that were in darkness. But this tidal wave is coming in to bring breakthrough, to bring the spirit of light. When there was darkness, God is saying light is coming forth. Amen. And I believe as you change the way that you behave. Change the way that you speak. God is going to do a miraculous work on the inside. The breakthrough that you've been praying for will come. Because you've crowned the King in your life. And you saying, Jesus, not my will, but yours be done today. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you all for coming. God bless you. And for those who are watching online, we thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness in tuning in. And happy Father's Day.